So we're talking about joy today, and joy is our mission. And as people of joy, we have purpose. And this is what I love. We have purpose. We've got kingdom purpose. We've got eternal purpose. It's not just joy and going on a mission. I've got to go to Tesco's, got to get to Asda before they close, got to get to the Gary's before it closes because I need milk and bread. I'm talking about a great purpose that actually encourages and builds up your life and everybody else's life around you. In fact, it changes the world. And we are people of joy because we don't find our joy in our circumstances. We find it in Jesus. And once you have Jesus, you're on mission. We're a people on mission and we have incredible purpose. We are here on a mission to help people find joy. We want people to get happy in a sense. We want people to feel joyful. We want people to forget sadness and forget all the things that's going on in the world because Jesus already overcome the world. That's what he said in the Gospels. He says, hey, be of good cheer, be happy, be joyful because of what I have done. And Jesus has done this. He has won this for us. And so we're people that we're literally going around and we want to give people hugs when it's COVID allowed, you know, that sort of thing, or when you're, I don't know, you know, we want to give people hugs. We want to love people, we want to encourage people, we want to bless people. We want them to feel joyful, but we want them to know joy. We want them to ultimately know Jesus. But today, here's what you notice. Maybe you've noticed, maybe you're feeling like this. People are sad today. They're joyless and they're unhappy, and that's just the Christians. But seriously, that tends to be our world right now, doesn't it? Even as Christians, we find ourselves looking, where's my joy right now? I'm feeling joyless, I'm feeling unhappy, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling overwhelmed, and I'm feeling anxious, and what am I supposed to do? Well, I want to tell you, one of the best things that you can do is to go on missions. Go on missions. Get a purpose. Get a purpose and go on missions and make a difference in this world. And watch how by you going out and making a difference and stepping into your kingdom, eternal purpose, that it transforms your thinking, your emotions, your life, your well-being. It's incredible. God designed it like this. He knows better, and it literally will cause you to feel healthier. It's amazing. So I looked up this. I did some kind of general study, looked at a few surveys, looked at a few online blogs, different things. People had done analysis. And I looked at the reasons why we're so unhappy today in general. Like, what's the reasons people are so unhappy? What's causing it? Well, here's the number one reason when you check it out. Across all the surveys, it's usually in the top three. But one of the number one reasons is comparison. Is that we are comparing my life to this person's life, and my life doesn't seem to look as good as this person's life, and so therefore, my life's not good, their life must be better, and it leads to low moods. It leads to dark places, and it can ultimately lead to depression and even suicide. Now, why is this so crazy? I think this is a bigger issue than it has been in the last 100 years, and it's been accelerated in the last few years. Why? Social media. Never before have you got a bird's eye view into people's days. What they have for breakfast? What they eat for dinner? Where'd they go for lunch? Oh my gosh, I'm stuck in an office and they're at like their latest coffee shop. They're at the latest restaurant. Oh my God, I've babysit tonight and they're at Nando's. This is like, oh, I can't do this. But they're at Tim Hortons. They've just done a drive-thru. Oh, they've driven all the way to Dublin to get a donut. I mean, it's just, I'm envious. I'm jealous. My life doesn't compare. It's just not as good. And that seems insignificant and it seems fun, but watch how many times people are posting, not because they want to share their lives with you, but because they're trying to look better than you. They're trying to make themselves look better. A lot of times when we post on social media, it's not just because we want the world to see what we're up to. We want recognition. We want the likes. We want to feel better because every time we get a love, every time we get a like, it makes me feel better. Comparison is such a killer. And right now, today, like never before, we're able to see into people's lives. But guess what? You're only seeing a small, tiny bit. And you're never going to post bad stuff. You're only going to post good stuff. And even then, it might be kind of tweaked a tiny bit. You know, maybe been filtered a tiny bit. And that's why you got to do hashtag no filter. But, you know, it's just like, hey, you go on holiday. And then you see somebody's holidays pop up. They've went on holiday once in the whole year, maybe once in 2 years. But all you see is their holiday and it looks amazing. And it makes you go, wow, I wish I had that. Comparison, number one thing, is making people unhappy. Number two, lack of thankfulness. Isn't it incredible that in a world where you can literally have anything, I'm talking about the Western world, I know we've got friends in other parts of the world and they can't have everything they want, but in our world, you literally can have whatever you want. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. You get a job with enough money, get whatever you want. It's incredible. You can get the government to give you money, you can get whatever you want. There's so many different ways to get whatever you want. And yet, in a world with so much abundance, it feels like we're always lacking something. Like, I need this, I need that, I really want this pair of shoes, I really want that new coat, I really want that new t-shirt, I really have to have this. And instead of being content with what we do have, we start to focus on what we don't have. And then we go, oh, my life's just rubbish. My life's just rubbish because I don't have what everybody else has. And what we need to do is we need to get back to the old song, count your blessings one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Wow, he has done so many incredible things. But if we choose to focus on what we don't have, then we're going to be miserable even with the things that we do have. It's time to turn our gaze afresh and start looking at what we do have and start being blessed and thankful and grateful and have gratitude and watch how it makes us feel just so much better and content in our lives. Number three, bored. Man, isn't that crazy? I mean, bored. What do you mean bored? I mean, we're bored as Christians, we're bored as people, we're bored as individuals, we're bored all the way through. Why? Again, in the Western world, we've got so many things to do, we're not sure what to do. So we just stay at home and I'm bored. Well, yeah, I heard somebody was going here and then somebody else phoned me, but I wasn't feeling it. So I just stayed at home and yeah, I'm just bored. And it's just this boredom. It's as if we've got so many things to do, we can't pick one. And so we find ourselves bored. Number four, you're always in the past or the present. You're always living in the past or the future. You don't dwell in the present. You just don't live in the present. You're excited for the future. I just hope that it will be like this. And I'm hoping like tomorrow will be better. And I'm hoping the next day will be better. And I'm living for this thing and that thing. And I haven't got them yet, but hopefully one day. Or I find myself living in the past. And it's like, oh, they're the good old days. You know, the good old. Come on, let's be real. The good old days were not that good. They were like tough and hard. Today's days are far better in reality's terms. They really are. And so you got the good old days, or just like the bad things I've done and the shame and all the different things. And yet what we really need to do is forget this, forget that, and live in the present. Of course, have memories of the past. Of course, have dreams of the future. But live in the present and start to realize more and more than ever, it's a gift. The present is a gift in so many more ways than one. And when we learn to live in the present, we'll start to appreciate our lives. We start to appreciate the people around us better. And we start to feel so much more content and fulfilled in our lives. And number five, and we could go all day, but you want me to move on. Which number five, hanging around with negative people. There is one sure way to get yourself in a bad mood or to get yourself in a negative place. Hang around with other negative people. It's just like, I mean, it is the most contagious disease in the world. Hanging around with negative people. You start to talk negative, think negative, act negative. In fact, your whole world just becomes negative and you can't get out of it. Come on, we got to get ourselves around better people. Better people. You know, in other words, all the things that we're saying, and we go on the list, I mean, some of the blogs, some of the surveys just go on and on and on. But in other words, what we're saying is we're lacking purpose, we're lacking focus, we're lacking destiny, and we're lacking a cause bigger than ourselves. And here's the solution. We've got it in Jesus. We've got the gospel. The gospel is the greatest news in the whole world. Where man made a mistake, sin entered the world, Jesus came, died on the cross, forever changed everything, death's defeated, sin's defeated, darkness is defeated, and now you accept Jesus. It's a free gift, no longer have to pay the ultimate price on the cross, which we couldn't anyway because we weren't perfect. He's paid it for us. We receive it like a gift and we begin to follow Christ. Our heavenly home is secured. And our life here today becomes abundant. It's just more and more and more. That's the greatest news in the world. Greatest news. And this news, this gospel, here's the idea, is that we would take this news and we would share it with other people and suddenly they get to become part of the story. And then we get to continue writing the story because such and such got saved. And this person got affected with the good news. And now their lives are transformed. And now they will never be the same again. And I tell you what, you suddenly start to find purpose and destiny and calling and fulfillment. And it is the best thing in the world. And it makes us better people. It makes us more content. So if you're struggling with these things, you need the gospel. The gospel really is the answer to every problem. It really is the answer to this life. It is bigger than salvation. It's more than salvation. It is salvation, but it's life all the way through until we get to heaven. It is the answer for everything. It's the good news of Jesus that transforms everything. And so now what we start to see is that we are people on mission. We're not people that has a mission. We're people on mission because there's no fun just talking about, well, you know, one day I'm going to lose like 3 stone. One day I'm going to get that car. One day I'm going to... No. We are people on a mission. We're literally on it right now. If you're in Christ, you're on it right now. If you're not in Christ and you need this, you need him and you need purpose, you need value, you need all the good things and destiny that he has, then say yes to him and suddenly you're on mission. You're on mission, ready to do it because it is our DNA. And this is why we love summer, because summer is one of those times where we get a bit more time. Traditionally, our guys are off from university, off from school, off from different things. You, as teachers, all different things. It kind of works for us. And so we have more time to go on missions. And so we've been everywhere. We've been South Africa, Greece, the Philippines, Latvia. We've been to Armagh. Can you imagine that? We've been in missions all over the place because our dream is to go for God. Our dream is to go all across the world and bring the good news. Let me give you Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Therefore go, this is the command of Jesus, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them above everything to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus said, here, I've got a mission for you. I've got a purpose for you. It's incredible. You should go. You should do this. This is the message. This is the purpose. This is the work of your life. Go and show people the love of the Father and let them experience what you have. Go say you can have what I have and go pray with them. Go see them transform. Go and see their lives forever change. This is incredible news. But have you noticed that somehow, some way, this good news has become a bit of a burden, a bit of a hassle, and a bit of a thing we're trying to get out of? I'm like, Lord, come on, convict us, transform us, change us, because this is not a burden, this message. This is the greatest joy of my life. The greatest joy of anyone's life is to see the love of God hit their heart and their lives never the same again. The joy of every Christian is to share the good news. I'm with the hope and the desire and the purpose that that news has the power to transform their lives, because salvation of God, the salvation of Jesus is powerful. It transforms people's lives. It's our greatest joy. It's our privilege, and to help someone find a Savior, wow, that's everything. And as Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14, for Christ's love compels us. It compels us. I mean, this is not just a privilege. It's not just an obedience thing. It's not just a command thing. This really is. It's a love thing. When you've encountered the love of God, wow, your life is never, ever, ever the same again. I remember a story when we were in the Philippines. I mean, I could share story after story, but one of our first trips to the Philippines, we had multiple teams. We're an incredible team. We had about 30-odd people, actually 34, including Jessica. And we go to the Philippines. And so we split up, and we got teams of 10, 12 people going all over the city in Cebu. And it was incredible. Sorry. It was incredible. We had people going all over the city. And so we had this team here, team A, team B, team three. I mean, it was just, we even on Sunday, we called it Super Sunday, because we had four teams going to four different places sharing the good news of Christ. But I remember one of the first encounters was that one of our teams goes to the fish market. And there they knew they were going to meet the kids. Now, they weren't really supposed to go there the first day because it can be a bit of a shock. But what they found there was kids that wanted love but were very unlovable in terms of the natural setting. They barely wore any clothes, if any. They were super unclean. They had lots of different issues going on in their lives. But all these kids wanted was love. And I remember our guys coming back going, wow, that was possibly the greatest and the worst experience of our lives. To see human beings living like that, to see so many kids that are homeless living on the streets, finding shelter and community in a fish market, and it was a fish market where they sold fish, so you could imagine the smell, but the kids lived there. And to see the joy on their faces and the excitement on their faces when our team came through, it blew them away. But our team literally came back crawling with ants and all sorts of other bugs. Their lives were never the same. You see, when you experience love and you experience people in need of love, and then you give love and you start to receive love and you start to see God move in a situation and you realize the privilege it is to give this love away through Christ, through His power, wow, it forever changes your life. That one encounter forever changed our team forever. And it's the same with every trip. It's the same with every encounter. It's the same with every person. We've got to remind ourselves it's for love that we're doing this thing. It's for compassion we're doing this thing. It's because He took my life, and I once was dirty and filthy and rotten, just like those kids and the fishmongers, only mine was sin. It mightn't have been direct. It might have been physical. It was sin, far worse. But Jesus loved me, and He hugged me, and He forgave me, and He died on a cross for me, and His love washed me white as snow. And so, guys, we've got to get a heart of love and a heart of compassion, because this is what we're called to. Our dream as a church is that we're on mission all of the time. We're on missions all of the time. Why? Because it's about obedience, of course, but also because we were made for this. It's good for us. It's really, really good for us. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're unsure what your call is and what you're supposed to do next, well, it's to go into all the world. It's to make disciples, to share the good news. It's to bring the greatest story ever told and allow people to encounter the love of God so their lives will never be the same. And you get to do that. You get to be a part of that. You get to be the one that brings that good news. Here's what sometimes can happen as Christians. We start to compare ourselves like everybody else. If you find yourselves like that, I've got a solution. We start to forget to count our blessings. We start to count what we don't have. If you're like that, we've got a solution. We start to get bored like everybody else gets bored. Well, if you've got like that, I've got a solution for you. We start to always live in the past and the future and say, well, it used to be really good, or I'm getting excited for what might come, but today it's rubbish. It's just no good. Well, I've got a solution for you. And maybe you're hanging around with negative people and they've started to wear off on you. They've started to wear you down. They've started to break you down, pull you down, and you're not the way you need to be. I've got a solution. It's to get on missions. Come on, it's to get on missions. It's to share the good news of Jesus. It's literally to get out there into all the world and share the good news. Let's read it again. Therefore, go and make all disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let me think of four quick things today as we're moving forward. Number one, go. Our call is to go. This is the call of everything. We're to go. But when you think about stop, go, you possibly start to think about traffic lights. This is the wrong way to think about the gospel. It's the wrong way to think about this verse as Jesus intended. It was more like this. As you go, share the good news. Because the problem is if you treat it like a traffic lights, well then you're waiting a lot of the time and then you're going some of the time. You're not going all of the time. But Jesus was going all of the time. He literally said, as I'm going my day to day, I'm looking out for those who need Christ. As I'm going every day, whether it be the shops, whether it be to the market, whether it be to my family, whether it be in a car, I'm open for what God would want me to do. I had a short testimony from one of the guys this week, driving along the road, saw someone in distress, decided, you know what, we should turn right and go back. They met with that person, they encouraged that person, they prayed with that person, and they left that person better than they found them. That's the work of the gospel. That's the work of God. That's how we do it as we're going. I was literally just driving a car, but I saw someone in distress. So I U-turned and I stopped for 5 minutes. That's all it took. And I changed somebody's day with the power of love and the power of grace. That's what we're called to. As we go, let's make a difference. Number two, as we go, we've got a purpose. We're to tell people about the amazing good news of Jesus. Without Jesus, it's a lost eternity. This is where we got to get serious. This is where we got to get real. We have the greatest news, but it's not an upgrade. It's not an optional thing. It's a life-changing thing. I tell you, it's even more than that. It's heavier than that. Without this, you go to a lost eternity. But with this, you go to a find eternity with Christ, with the gospel, with hearing the good news. You get the opportunity of receiving Jesus, who takes away your sins, transforms your life forever, gives you a brand new start, and suddenly you get to go to heaven when you die instead of hell, because the wages of sin is death. And if we don't get those wages paid, if we don't get that death taken care of, if we don't get our sin taken care of, then we will never make it to heaven. So this is life-changing news. We get to become lifeguards. I mean, literally, I don't know if you remember back to Baywatch. I mean, just think for a fun moment. I mean, those guys in Baywatch, well, of course, they looked like me, you know, ripped to bits, kind of looking amazing. You know, just like their bodies were amazing. But guess what? We may not be physically like those guys. And if you remember back to Baywatch, then you know the score. But we don't have to be like that, because what counts is the message on the inside. And it's the message that we have that we can share that will transform other people's lives. Because we are not who we were. We are who we are in Christ. We are found in Him. And we have that news that will transform, that will literally rescue people's lives. So our purpose is great. And here's the goal, is to see many people become believers and disciples. That's what the verse says. Our job is to share, to love, to tell people about Jesus, and it's the Holy Spirit that wants to come and partner with us. This is what I think is incredible. Acts chapter 13, 15, it says the disciples were filled. They came back, they're on missions, they're Paul and Barnabas, they're on missions, they're coming back, and in Acts chapter 15, this is what it notes, says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. This is a work of joy and the Holy Spirit. We're to go in joy, we find our joy, but it's a teamwork partnership with the Holy Spirit if we're going to go into all the world. You're not going to go every day and share with your own stuff. It's just never going to be enough. You need the Holy Spirit to come and empower you and transform you. In fact, here's what it says, Acts chapter 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wow, this is good news, isn't it? We don't have to do this, because in myself, I know I'm not strong enough. In myself, most days I'm like, oh Lord, I can't even make my bed. That's Nikki. I need to try harder. But the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes to enable us, and he comes to help us, and he literally comes to empower us so that we're not doing this in our own strength anymore. And he helps us. And look, it's not par for performance. It's not par for the stage. It's not par for your family. It's par to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, local places, Judea, further afield places, Samaria, further afield again, and then to the ends of the earth. Foreign mission trips. We're called to go to all these places. Wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, you're on mission. We are on mission everywhere we go. And then final thing, once you've done your purpose and your goal, then what happens? Repeat, multiply, grow, joy increases. Once someone gets saved, they go. If someone didn't get saved, go again. If someone did get saved, encourage them, disciple them. We just repeat. We just create disciples that make disciples that make disciples. This is the joy of Jesus. This is how the early church exploded. One Jesus, 12 disciples, suddenly then 120, then 2,000, then 3,000, then tens of thousands. Now, third of the world, no Jesus. Third of the world walking with Christ. But we want to see more because so many people have not heard the good news. We want to reach in to the world. We want to reach out and tell our friends and family around us. So I want to finish off with a story today. What does this look like? Like, how do we live this thing out? Give us a real example we can look at. And I couldn't get away from this story. And it is so familiar, but maybe it isn't for you. But if it is, come on, let's look afresh with fresh eyes and see what God wants to show us today. Acts chapter 3, let me read it to you. Verse 1 down to verse 10. One afternoon, Peter and John went to the temple for 3 o'clock prayer. They're going in the afternoon for 3 o'clock prayer. As they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple. This was shocking to them. It caught their attention. They're like, what's going on? This is interesting. He was often brought there to beg for money and those going into worship. So he would ask the people going into church, have you got anything for me? Verse 3, when he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. Peter and John, looking straight into his eyes of the crippled man, said, look at us, expecting a gift. He readily gave his attention. Then Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Wow, breakthrough. Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man, and as he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly, now note this, remember this, suddenly power surged into the cripple's feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned, and then began to walk around. Could you imagine the moment? As he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy and shouted praises to God. When all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was the crippled beggar they had passed by in front of the Beautiful Gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were all amazed for what had happened. Wow, what a story. What a story. I'm reading it from the Passion Translation today because I love it. And if you haven't checked it out, you should go check it out. It's such a great read, and it really helps us to understand the Bible even better. And sometimes read it just more clearly when we're struggling to read, sometimes more the direct translations. So go check it out, Passion Translation. But I love this story. This story of a guy whose life has always been like this, probably since crippled from birth, and he's just stood at the temple gate, and he's just trying to make a living, just trying to get through, just trying to survive, which is the story of most people. But this day, he meets two guys that would forever transform his life. How does it look like? Two guys that transform people's lives. How does it look? When you look for people that are in distress, people that are in need, people that are burdened, people that are worried, you look for people that need help, and you suddenly bring some help. So let me give you a few key thoughts of what we're thinking about today to try to impact and roll this out into our hearts. Now, first thought, he begged for money, not healing. I think this is interesting. Verse number 3, when he noticed Peter and John going to the temple, he begged them for money. I mean, we've got to take special note of this because he just seemed to have no grid, no expectation that these disciples had power to heal, that these disciples had power to transform and change them. He just seemed to have no grid for it. So what he expected was money. Now, it seems like a great expectation. It seems like a good thing. I mean, you could win the lottery. I mean, you could win a prize. You could get a big inheritance. It seems like a good thing. But I tell you what, would all the money in the world been worth it if this guy could have walked? Absolutely not. But he just didn't realize that he could have an expectation like this. He didn't realize that he could believe and that he could pray for a breakthrough and that he could see his life transformed like this. Isn't it amazing? This man had no idea that healing was on the table, but this day something was going to happen. Peter and John noticed him. I think this is such another key point that Peter and John noticed him. It says in verse 4, Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, look at us. This is so key. I think day to day, we can share our faith, we can do this, we can do that, we can go to the workplace, we can look after our families, we can do all those good things. But at some point during our days, we've got to notice people. We've got to notice people in distress. We've got to notice people in need. I mean, how many times have you heard someone say, hey, did you notice that person today? Didn't even see them. Didn't even spot them. Did you see they've painted the wall? No, didn't even notice. Now, some people are naturally much more perceptive than others, so I'll give you that. But we've got to be on the lookout because, again, our goal is to share the news. Our goal is to be on mission. And if we're going to be on mission, then we literally have to be looking for people to be on mission with, who we can love, who can bless, who can share the good news. They noticed this man, and it wasn't just important for them, it was important for him. You see, so many people had walked past this crippled man, and it probably looked a bit like, you know, looking down, looking up, looking out, because, you know, I don't want to give money, or it's like, oh, there he is again, or there's that awkward person again, what are we supposed to do with him? But these guys noticed him. They noticed him, and it made such a difference. And when you notice people, you know what? Eye to eye, it's love. It communicates value. It communicates purpose. It communicates something. You're worth something. I've noticed you. You're important to me. I couldn't pass you by. It elevates that person to like, wow, maybe I'm worth more than I thought. Maybe I'm not just a nobody. Maybe I could be a somebody. To notice someone is absolutely incredible. And Peter and John were bold. Look at verse 6. It says this. Then Peter says, I don't have money, but what I do have, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Wow, these guys had boldness, and this is what we need if we're going to go on mission. We're going to have boldness. But look what happens. It wasn't just a case of, we don't have money, get up and walk sort of thing. It was like, okay, we're going to help you to walk. Verse 8, their faith led to breakthrough. We've got to understand the order here because this is crucial as we go out. Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man. As he pulled the man to his feet, suddenly power surged into the cripple's feet and ankles. The man jumped up, stood there for a moment stunned, and then he began to walk around. Now, notice what happens. Peter declares the word of God. He declares a word of faith. He declares and says, hey, I believe God's given us power. We're going to tell you that. We're saying, hey, you could have money, but we've got something far better. So in the name of Jesus, he declares the name of Jesus, and then he's got expectation with it. And so at that moment, nothing's taking place. But Peter knows if they've declared Jesus' name, something always happens because the word never returns void. And Jesus is the word. Remember, he's the word that put on flesh. He's the word that he's the living word. I mean, we read the Bible, it's not a dead word, it's a living word. Jesus was the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus, he just starts to say, hey, I know when I declare the name of Jesus, something shifts in the atmosphere. When I declare his name, something always takes place. Something always moves. And so with faith and expectation and with boldness, Peter puts out his hand. Wow. This night just got serious because it wasn't just a prayer like, yeah, I'm praying for you, I'm believing. But inside we're like, well, it doesn't really matter if it doesn't happen. Peter has put his heart on the line. Peter has put his reputation at stake. Peter has put himself on the line because now it's going to look stupid if this guy doesn't rise up. Or would it? Because remember, Peter's so convinced and so content that even if it doesn't happen, so be it. I want to use my faith anyway. I want to exercise my faith anyway. But he, in faith, puts his hand out and he grabs a hold of this guy. Now, notice what happens next. It wasn't that the guy jumps up. It says that he began to pull him up. He began to pull him up. And it's only at this moment that suddenly power surged into the crippled man's body. It's almost like God was waiting for the faith to move. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And as Jesus said, I can't do many miracles in my hometown because there's just no faith. And many times when Jesus was working a miracle, do you remember it? He's in the room and he says, hey, you got to get out because I can sense there's lack of faith in this room. And faith spoils the works of God. Faith moves mountains, but without faith, you can't do nothing. Faith receives Jesus. Faith transforms our heart and our lives forever. But if you haven't got faith, you ain't going to move anything. You're definitely not going to lift a grown man up and you're definitely not going to see this guy move and see a breakthrough and see a miracle. But as Peter put out his hand in faith, it says that suddenly power surged. And so here's what it teaches me, and hopefully what it teaches you, is that we can't just go around just praying. We can't just go around like, yeah, pray for you, like, just bless the Lord, let's see what God does. No, we got to step out by faith and we got to say, okay, if God, if I'm serious about this thing and I felt that God told me to pray, then I'm serious that he wants to heal. And so, okay, let's go. and we put our hand out in faith. Let me tell you a story about this, because we have a real life story. Back in 2017, I think it was, we went to Greece. 15, we went to Greece when the refugee crisis was on. And we love this story, so we'll tell it till the day we die sort of thing. But we also have more. We're believing for more, because we've got to have more. But this day, we go to a refugee base. There's refugees everywhere, obviously. And we're meeting with people, and just for all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of different problems. And then we notice a guy in a wheelchair. And we go up to him. We say, hey, can we pray for you? He says, yeah, I'd love prayer. Get some translation. And he says, I love prayer. And so he just wants prayer. And his expectation is he might feel better, but he doesn't believe he's going to get healed. Our expectation was, we're kind of hoping for healing. We're kind of believing for healing, but we're not too certain. We're like, this is all news. So we're going to go for it anyway. Let's believe. Well, we pray for him. Pray the first time, and we said, well, look, how are you feeling? He says, well, not too bad. We said, well, do you want to get up or anything? No. We said, okay, let's pray again. I think we're praying more for us than him. But we pray again, and they say, want to get up? No, not really. Third time, we said, we pray. And now we literally felt the power of God. We're like, I know something's happened. We're praying. I'm praying sitting down. Another guy's praying standing up. We're swapping around, but we got faith to believe. And we said, okay, we got to do something now. And just like in the story, we took his hand. One took one hand, another person took another hand, and we pulled him up. And I tell you, it was by faith. We took a huge risk. We were like, if this guy screams, let him down quick sort of thing in our heads. But we had faith to believe something has happened. Something has taken place. Well, I tell you what, it was almost like the same as this story. We start to lift him up and suddenly something starts to move. And you start to see his face going like, wow, he starts to smile a tiny bit. He's like, it's not painful. You can tell he's in shock. He's like, it's amazing. This is a guy that had hurt his ankle months ago. It had hurt so bad that he couldn't walk, and now he's been pushed in a wheelchair. And now we're seeing breakthrough. And it's like his ankle instantly is being healed. And something's starting to take place. Well, by the end, long story short, this guy was starting to walk around. We started to walk with him. He was like, wow, I think something's happened. We're like, we believe it. Something is taking place. And then by the end of it, he's walking around pushing his wheelchair. Can you imagine the scene? Everybody in the base is going, this is crazy. He's now pushing his wheelchair. But here was the last thing. And I got to encourage you with this. We had to be bold. And we said at the end, I forget his name now, which is terrible, but it was a name hard to remember for us. But I should have written it down, no excuse. But at the end, we said, hey, you know what you got to do? You got to fold this wheelchair up. It was a foldy-up one. You could fold it up and put it away. We're going to fold it up. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Maybe I need this. We said, no, you don't need this. Before, you couldn't walk at all. Now you're walking around. You're literally pushing your wheelchair. Don't push it. Get rid of it. And guys, we got to understand that when God does something and a miracle has happened and a breakthrough is taking place, chuck it away. We don't want this thing anymore. Don't keep it as a trophy. Don't keep it as a friend. Chuck it out. Go to recycle. Go to the skip, go to the dump. We don't need this wheelchair anymore. But it took faith, it took boldness, it took real faith, it took like going, okay, we're a bit afraid here, Lord, we're going to step out in faith anyway, and we're going to look like idiots, but we're going to go for it. But notice it only happened once we stepped out, literally, in faith. It didn't happen when we're believing in faith, didn't happen when we're thinking in faith, it only happened when we stepped out in faith, and we were prepared. Okay, something's about to happen. And instantly at that moment, suddenly something takes place. Another point, joy was overflowing. You got to see this. Every time you're on mission, joy is overflowing. And then the last one, I want to think about this just as we're finishing. The church had become powerless. This is what's so key. Verse 9, when all the people saw him jumping up and down and heard him glorifying God, they realized it was a crippled beggar that they had passed by in front of the beautiful gate. Astonishment swept over the crowd, for they were amazed over what had happened to him. They weren't used to this. They never saw this. The church was literally dead. What they did was they went in and worshiped God. He might as well have been dead too, because they weren't expecting anything to happen. They weren't expecting anything to move, and they definitely weren't expecting any blind or beggar or anybody else with disability or ailments or problems to get healed or transformed, because they walk past them every single day. This is ridiculous. And yet, guys, here's the real truth. If we're being really honest, we're walking past people every single day, and the church is not a building. The church is the people. And yet we've no expectation that God would move. We're not even noticing. We're not even stopping. We're not even taking a minute. So I'm not trying to condemn, but what I'm saying is, if we've got the greatest news in the world and we're compelled by love and we've got this power at our disposal and we know that God wants to move in love, then guys, we got to get convinced. We got to get convicted. We got to start to get moved with compassion, just like Jesus, and go, okay, not on my watch. Because these two guys blew it up. These guys literally blew it up. That place was never the same again. The early church is Acts chapter 2. The church was never the same again, and it never looked back. And yet it can become sleepy. It can become dry, it can become dead, and it only happens when we forget our mission. And when we forget our mission, we forget our purpose. And when we forget those two things, our love starts to wane, and all that becomes confined to is our nearest and dearest. And guys, we're so much more than this. The gospel is so much greater than that. The love of God wants to move through our hearts. And so my challenge is this: are we ready to wake up? Because that day the church woke up. Two men woke the whole thing up, and it would not go back in the box ever since. It just wouldn't. The next day they get pulled before the Sanhedrin, which is like the religious court. And they said, you got to stop talking about this thing. And they said, we can't stop talking. And from that point forward, they were just troublemakers for Jesus, troublemakers in love. For the rest of their lives. And some of them got beheaded, some of them got crucified, some of them lived right to the finish. But I tell you, it was a crazy life since that, because they just said, the cat's out of the bag. We're not going back. We have fully woken up. We understand what's going on. The Holy Spirit is with us, and we're going all out for Jesus. And so the question is this: are we ready to wake up? Come on. It's never too late to wake up. It's never too late to realize the power and potential and the love that we have inside of us if we would just let it go and say, okay, who's around me? Who do I see around me that needs help? Who do I see around me in my world as I go every day? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I love? Who can I pray with? Come on, take a step. If you've never prayed with someone, stop and pray with someone. If you've prayed with someone but you've never shared your faith before, go share your faith. Remember, there's some people in your life you can start to pray with, and then at the end of a month you can start reaching them, talking to them, encouraging them. Take a step of faith with a stranger, with someone you know. Come on, we have the power of God, and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of me and you. Amen. If you're a believer in Christ, this is what you have. So we need to start. Final line. We need to start getting passionate about the mission of God to reach the whole world with the love of Jesus and his grace. Guys, this is our mission. This is our call. This is our purpose. You aren't going to feel anything else any other way that's of any value, of any purpose, that's of ever any lasting effect other than the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is the power on the salvation to see people's lives transformed. And it's power for healing and breakthrough and transformation. And we get to be a part of this. And we're compelled by love, because the love of God has changed our hearts so much. Come on, we're going to pray. And if you're not saved today, I want to pray that the love of God will compel your heart. And when I pray today, as we're sharing the good news, that as Jesus has won victory for you, as Jesus has died for your sins, as Jesus is available to your heart today, that you would literally feel it and say it and go, okay, I need him. I feel that conviction. And I pray, Holy Spirit, because it's a teamwork. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict those hearts that need to be convicted today, and they would say with boldness, yes. Yes to Jesus, because he is the only way and the best way. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for those that are far from you or those that don't know you. I pray today, Jesus, they would say yes. Yes in faith. Not perfect, not all figured out, not trying to get better, but just simply saying yes in the midst of their messes. I'm so glad that the crippled guy looked up and he said, okay, yes, I'll look at you. And his life was never the same again. Lord, I pray for two bold guys, three bold guys. I pray for bold Christians. Not bold in ourselves, because boldness in ourselves becomes rude and obnoxious and I'll tell you something and I'll put you right. I'm talking about boldness in the things of the Spirit. Boldness to pray when it looks stupid to pray. Boldness to believe for a crippled guy who's been crippled for birth, but to believe for prayer and to believe for breakthrough and healing, because you know our God can do anything. Boldness in our praying. Boldness in our speech. Boldness in our love. When everybody else is persecuting, we begin to speak words of love. When everybody else is counseling, we begin to love in an outrageous, unreserved way because of the love of God that flows in our hearts. Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Let us wake up. It's a simple prayer, but it will forever change us. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up with passion. Wake us up with love. Wake us up with grace, and let us transform and change the world around us. Two guys woke the whole church up forever. Lord, let us be the new guys that would wake up the church again, afresh, in this moment, in this season. Lord, bless every heart, bless every life. In Jesus' name, amen.